Welcome back to Reality TV. I missed you guys. It has felt like way more than 2 weeks. If you are a regular listener to the show, thank you so much for sticking with me. The letters and messages, DMs of support and love and prayers. It's been a real shitty past couple weeks, and I'm not going to make this into a pity party today. In a nutshell, my son was hospitalized for about 10 days. He was really extremely sick. I'll go into it more on Patreon. My dad was also dealt some really terrible health news, so it was a double whammy, a real, real crappy week. But you guys got me through. Watching our shows got me through. Today, I would love to talk about Love After Lockup and 90 Day Fiancé. But first, I want to... Okay, I'm really laying this out here. This is like my dirty little secret. It's my guilty pleasure. Every evening, I go on a little website called gomiblog.com. It's G-O-M-I blog. It stands for Get Off My Internets. And there are so many different forums in addition to the front page news. So some of you may be familiar with bloggers or Instagram, what do you want to call them, influencers, like the Freckled Fox or that Melissa Hartwig Whole 30 person. Yeah, I don't do the Whole 30. It's way too healthy for me. But anyhow, this website has basically every Instagram blogger, YouTuber, and just general celebrity, royalty, news, and people. And it's just a snark fest. It's incredible. I do not post on it because these, I would say mostly women, are fucking hysterical. But I follow it and I read certain forums every night. I'm not going to tell you which ones. You'll have to listen to Patreon for that. That's patreon.com/realityvpod. Little rusty here. But there are a couple of forums that I will share, one of them being celebrity gossip. There are some stories about disappointing celebrities that people have met, and people tell all about it, which is great. But two of the forums that I've been following, one of them being Kevin Hart's car crash. This brought me, I know this sounds absolutely terrible, but it brought me such joy in the dark hours of the night, 2, 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep and I'm watching my little boy in pain and trying to do everything I can for him. When he would finally drift off to sleep, I needed something light and stupid, and I would dive into gomiblog.com and this Kevin Hart forum about the car crash, how we are not hearing anything about it. Really interesting, right? I mean, normally you would hear about this kind of stuff. Go and dive into that one. Please let me know what you think. And also another story that seemed to be hidden within the news, that is Kevin O'Leary, the Shark Tank guy. His wife was in a boating accident. She ran, it seems like, head on with this other boat. Now, the other boat did not have its lights on, but at the end of the day, two people died. The person whose boat was hit did not have lights on, and they were cited for fleeing the scene. Now, you might say, oh, okay, well, they're at fault too. But if you're in the middle of any body of water and two people on your boat are dying, you're going to flee the scene. You're not going to sit around and wait for the ferry ambulance from above or a boat to come and find you, right? Well, his wife is charged with killing two people, like, I don't know, reckless homicide or some shit like that. No one's talking about it, probably because, I mean, it's Kevin O'Leary, aka Mr. Wonderful. He's not that big of a star, but really, this should be shit that we are talking about. And this is a shit that I'm talking about, the low level but amazing snark on everyone on the internet, people who are starving for attention, begging for it. Oh, like the Caroline Calloway. She's got a whole forum going over there. Just trust me on this. If you like snark and if you have a hard time falling asleep at night like I do, head on over there. It's just so much freaking fun. And if you sign up for it, tell me how, because I don't know if you have to be like approved or something like this, or you have to come up with a screen name. Whatever it is, let's go on there, have a good time, and check it out. And they also talk about podcasts too. I'm way too terrified to go in there and see if people are actually talking about me. Probably not, because they're up here and I'm a down here. And that's fine with me because I can talk about anything I want to talk about. And oh, what is it? 13 of you are going to listen. But you know who the most important few of you are? That's right, my newest Patreon subscribers, Tanya, coming in at the $10 level. I love you. You're going to be getting your keychain, your stickers, all your bonus episodes, early ad-free episodes, heading out right to you. Also, Jahinda, I hope I said your name right, Deborah, Kimberly, Sherry, Kristen, Yvette, Brooke, I love you. I adore you. Like I said, it's been a real shitty couple of weeks, and you perked me up. You gave me something to look forward to, and you can look forward to all those goodies heading your way. So thank you very much. If you are interested, head on over to patreon.com/realitybpod. Okay, let's just dive right into Love After Lockup. My God, this show never freaking disappoints, does it? Let's start off with, the most boring, Andrea and LaMondre. Now, last week on the episode, I was not able to recap. She met with this detective who looks like he should probably have his own, I don't know, CSI spinoff, something on A&E, Live PD, perhaps. He gave Andrea the rundown, and I really don't think it would take a detective to do that. I think we could have all told Andrea that LaMondre with the jack-o'-lantern teeth is no good news. And Andrea, get out of that little mini mesh top that she probably got at the Forever 21 closing sale. In case you guys didn't know, they're going under. So if you need anything to go to Da Club or find a t-shirt that's approximately 6 inches in length, head on over there. Yeah, I dare you to find a 21-year-old that could even fit in any of those shirts. My 10-year-old has no boobs and it didn't even cover her boobs. That's why they are going under, because their shirts don't go under their boobs. What the fuck style is that? We need shirts longer and this mom jean style. Let's drop the waistline again. I'm not saying we need to go real low, kind of like Tim on 90 Day Fiancé with his jeans from Hot Topic. Not that low, but the mom jeans don't look cute on even teenagers that have the body to wear it. I don't know what the style is. It's going to be like the 80s when we look back and we're wondering why we wore multiples. And if you don't know what multiples were, you weren't in style. I'm talking those boxy cotton outfits that came with a tube. And you're like, oh my God, these are going to be in style forever. They're so versatile. They're timeless. Yeah, that's what people are going to look back at, these stupid crop tops and the mom jeans. It's not a cute look. All right, Jody, stay on target. All right, let's move on to Angelo and Tony, because we didn't get to see Lizzie and Daniel this week. I bet you they were probably humping by the water heater, but, you know, it steamed up the camera lens, so all the footage was ruined. Damn it. But Angela and Tony, she's still searching for him. She is searching for him high, low, and in between every hojo in the tri-state area. Which three states that means, I don't fucking know. But I do know that I need a Ricola every time I hear Angela speak. Like, it physically hurts my own throat. I feel a rattle of, like, phlegm and tobacco residue. I would hate to see what a scope down her throat looks like, because it's probably like a highway with cigarette billboards all along the way, all the way down her trachea. Anyhow, she's dragged along that poor minion Tony, and she's going to confront this chick named Amy, this mysterious Amy that Tony has been talking to. So she breaks into the Howard Johnson. By the way, that's what we call hojos, right? She breaks into the hojo, goes right into the laundry room, which, undercover boss, where are you? Let's put some protocol in place so that the cleaning ladies are not assaulted by every Angela across the country. Angela busts in there. Well, really, she saunters in there. She's a lady, you guys. She's wearing her finest Liz Claiborne dress, and she finds Amy folding clothes. Amy turns around, and wouldn't you know it, it's Rachel Dratch as Debbie Downer. I mean, sans, oh, I don't know, like three teeth. Tony's definitely got a type, right? What Amy lacks in teeth, Angela makes up for it with that extra snaggle tooth up front, and vice versa. I'm talking about the towels, because can't you just smell Angela's towels? You know she reuses them over and over again. They have a moldy tobacco smell to them. I just know it to be true. So these two women, classy ladies, Tony's harem, if you will, they start speaking in a language that I could not understand. I don't know if it was the industrial dryers just running in the background or, hell, maybe it was the sound of Angela's rusty lungs at rest. But either way, they're yelling at each other. They're about to throw down. And you know, Tommy can't get between these two because they would flip him over, probably throw him into the wall, much like Mike the Situation in Italy when he slammed his head against the concrete. Tommy can't take that kind of a blow. But Debbie Downer was definitely scared, and I would have been too. But Angela knows better. She's not going to get her Claiborne all bloody. She might need to wear that again when she meets the next convict at the bus depot. So let's jump to the Southern Restaurant. And I think that's the actual name of it. I was going to go back, but I know it was like Southern Food, Southern Table Place Where You Eat. Real clever name. And enter Loretta. Oh, Loretta. She didn't wake up that morning knowing she was going to get her big break, but she did. She was going to serve her waitress tushy right into my cold black heart. I just want her to say the word. I will do anything she wants because I want dibs on that lemon meringue pie in the background. Did you see it? That's the kind of meringue to lemon ratio that I love. I'm more of a lemon fan, not so much meringue. I mean, I'll take it or leave it. I'm going to eat it. I mean, it's on the fucking plate. I'm only human. But it just had like the little tufts, like the little, like just where you squeeze it, the little kisses, if you will, atop. That's all I could see. I think there was like some sort of tong situation that Loretta was attending to. I'll help her out. I'll take a drive down there just for that pie. I bet you that place has like a really good cobbler. Like people come from miles around for that special Thursday night cobbler. Tommy definitely prefers a cobbler over a pie. I can just see it. And Tony apparently prefers women without access to preventative dental care. It's a fact. I'm just throwing it out there. So we leave off with Angela driving Tommy to the site where she's going to someday dump his body. I'm telling you right now. But she gets a text that Tony has been arrested by the U.S. Marshal. Dun, dun, dun. We'll find out what happens next week. But for now, Tommy stays alive. And that's all I really care about because I'm really concerned for this guy. All right. Glorietta and Alex, my new favorite couple, hands down my favorite couple to watch right now. Pretty girl, I was in prison, the bars. I closed my eyes. I just want to be free. Now, I don't know for a fact that's exactly the lyrics, but basically anything, any picture that comes to Alex's mind, he just sets it to a song, baby. The lights are so bright, but the sun in your heart, baby, I am free. That was so beautiful. I mean, these two, it's basically Dumb and Dumber at this point. Just put their heads out the fucking window. And it actually goes, oh my God, this goes perfectly with Alex's tattoo because I don't know if I just didn't notice it last week or maybe he got it tattooed on his face right before he was released, but there's like little teardrops out of the corner of his mouth. I thought that was out of your eyes. Isn't it supposed to be like how many teardrops come out of your eyes is how many people you killed or something like that? But Alex's, it looks like he just ate, I don't know, like a burrito and he's got burrito juice dripping down his chin or I don't know, maybe he had to blow some dude and that's the prize that he got. I mean, if he wants to look like me after a bender at Taco Bell, by all means, go for it. But I just don't think I'd want to drop the soap with those things drip dropping down my chin, if you know what I mean. Now, speaking of soap, bubbles. Wow. Even though Glorietta wanted to be wined and dined with Alex's $0, she's such a fucking idiot, she's going to jump into a bathtub fully clothed and have sex with him. And I get why she did it. Obviously, I get why she did it. I'm basically a never nude myself. You all know this. She doesn't want to get naked in front of a camera crew. Neither would I. But what about putting on a robe or at least take off your cardigan, take off a layer? I mean, nothing sexier than entering a bathtub dressed like a Duggar on their honeymoon or on their wedding night. And then you got to hear your man just drop your heavy clothes off with like a splunk outside the tub. So then we fast forward and we see Joey Lawrence, Yeah, did I mention that yet? Alex looks exactly like Joey Lawrence now, especially because he's got a penchant for wearing plaid flannel at all times. He walks his way down to the lobby post-bathtub coitus, and he calls Juliana. Ooh, who's Juliana? Well, it's his old flame who he's been with for a long, long time. Much longer than it's going to take Glorietta's cardigan to air dry, that's for damn sure. Now, Lacey and John. Lacey is such a bitch, you guys. She rolls down to the prison wearing these hoop earrings that ironically indicate her IQ score. Think about it. And she sits down to speak with John, and it's one of those prisons where you can't be in person, where it's just over the phone. I don't know why that gets me really excited, but it does because I feel like it's more hardcore prison when you can't see him face to face. But stupid Lacey had to go and frickin' ruin it because she goes to like max volume in Kardashian speak, which is the worst. I'm going to say it's even worse than Paris Hilton talk. It's like that, I love ya, want to take a DNA test? My son Marlo could be yours. Isn't that so cute? I've been talking to this other guy. I can't help if I have feelings for him. Love ya. I mean, is Lacey really that good in the sack that multiple men are going to be putting up with this bullshit? She goes from, do you want a DNA test because I think you're my kid's dad? And then, oh, by the way, I love another guy, but love ya, bah. What the fuck? I mean, dare I say Prisoner John deserves better? That says a lot. Okay, moving on to Vincent and Amber. I am so confused. I feel like we didn't see him last week, but I mean, again, I'm so fucked up in the last 2 weeks. I have no idea what's upside down, inside out, what's going on, but I know that I'm confused with Vincent and Amber. So Amber is at this delicious Mexican food restaurant with a friend who, quite frankly, I am afraid to snark on because guaranteed this chick could kick my ass. And I like that about her. I like the friend because she's thinking like us. She's kind of the us in this situation. She knows Vincent is a weirdo. The only thing that she really has wrong is her hair, and I have no problem introducing her to my hairstylist. But here's the thing that confuses me overall. Amber and I don't even know what her name is. Let's just call her Rainbow Bright. They're saying that they don't think Vincent is really in love with Amber. But last I recall, Vincent was the one who was head over heels with Amber, and she was using him. And I know he was doing some sort of adoption scam with Puppy, but since when is Amber the one who's getting her heart strung along and she's now worried that he's not into her like she's into him? So here's their plan. Amber's going to sneak out to the bathroom, leaving her perfectly good rice and beans right in front of her. She doesn't even freaking eat it. I mean, I don't care how stalkery a guy is. I'm eating my rice and beans, my fajita plate before I get up to go anywhere. But Amber apparently has, maybe she's got the willpower to get through prison or something. I don't know. So she gets up, she goes to the bathroom, she lets Rainbow Bright do the dirty work, and she just goes right into it. Every question Rainbow asks Vincent, he fails. And there's something going on with the veins on his head. Like, I'm very concerned. There's a questionable popping vein. It's worrying me. It may burst. It may rupture. I know quite a few doctors that I can hook him up with at this point. But anyway, Amber basically comes back and says, oh, I still don't have the answers I need. So let's go smoke a cigarette so we can talk about you behind your back. So Vincent follows him out there and he's like, I know you're talking about me. Let me answer your questions. But then he doesn't answer anything. It's so fucking bizarre. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy now. We know Vincent's weird, but is he really having bad intentions? Or is Amber, oh God, I'm so fucking confused. All right, let's move on to Cheryl and Josh, because these are two that I definitely have pegged and nailed down to a T. Oh, let's start with this cute little date at the zoo. Isn't this just heartwarming, like Cheryl says? She's meeting Josh's nieces. She loves it. Well, you know what I would love? I would love if Cheryl would go get her own freaking kids, bring them to the zoo instead of unloading them on her parents. Yeah, remember your own kids, Cheryl? I mean, part of me wants to excuse Cheryl's stupidity at times like this because I do think she's kind of legitimately slow. But then I remember that she conveniently chooses to ignore her own children, and then I don't feel so bad. So she's talking about longhorns and this picket fence and wedding gowns and getting married. Again, what about introducing your children to the guy first? How does she not even give a shit that her kids haven't met the guy that she's going to live with on a hilltop and have bison or oxen or whatever the fuck longhorns are? I mean, is she even calculating her kids into this? Because she said, I want to have three kids in this fantasy longhorn utopia she has. But I don't think she's remembering that she already has three kids. Or is she just planning to have do-over kids with Josh and leave the three with her family? Nope. Don't feel badly for her. And I hope you don't feel too badly either, because I'm going to take a very quick break and then I'll be back with 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days.
Hi, we're Eliza,
Allison,
and Carlin,
and we're the hosts of Resolved Mysteries podcast. Our podcast follows the 80s and 90s television show Unsolved Mysteries, hosted by Robert Stack. We have a love for true crime and the unsolved.
If you don't remember Unsolved Mysteries, we forgive you, but you don't have to know to get into our show. If you like true crime stuff, ghost stuff, alien stuff, or just stories about weird shit like Bigfoot, this is your podcast.
The stories we cover range from totally ridiculous to truly heartbreaking. We do detailed research on all of the segments that Unsolved Mysteries aired, then drink some wine and give you the latest updates on every case. We talk about stories that will leave you laughing, crying, and occasionally outraged.
Resolved Mysteries podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your favorite pods. Join us, and perhaps you may be able to help solve a mystery.
All right, let's do this 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. We have to start out with the one and only Darcy. Darce and Stace, Stace and Darce, doing it Albanian style. Aren't we jealous? These two are more competitive than the meanest sorority sisters that you've ever seen in a Lifetime movie. It is insane how much they hate each other. Darcy's sitting there sucking down Diet Cokes in one of the skinniest glasses I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if this thing was like a Bud vase, or maybe I'm just a fat American and I'm used to supersizing everything, but good God, the thing looked like it held like 4 ounces max. It was basically one of those Similac baby bottles that they send you home from the hospital with. Now, that glass was not as annoying as those matching train conductor hats. That alone is reason enough to break up with anyone. I am sorry. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry if you own one of these hats. It is not cute. It's not a good look when you look like Oliver Twist, who fell into some sort of a time warp and fell face first into some Restylane and Botox. It's certainly not a sign of mental health or even close to anything normal. And of course, Darcy's wearing those freaking leather pants. Hundreds of miles have been flown, and she's still wearing them. They're walking around in this little courtyard, and all right, I'm trying to think of like a clever way to say this. The weather in England isn't the only thing that's damp and muggy. Let's just hope Monistat is over the counter in jolly old England, because Darcy has got a situation a-brewing. I'm going to bet that was not on her vision board. Now, let's talk about Sister Tom. How do we feel about her? I'm really on the fence, the white picket fence that Darcy wants oh so desperately. I mean, clearly, Sister Tom is the Sandusky Beth of Nottingham, but much quicker, higher IQ, cheekier, if you will. I love her, but I'm also terrified of her, especially if she and Tom come from the same bloodline. What kind of family upbringing do they have? Because Tom is a freaking weirdo. And she, again, I don't know. I don't think she's a weirdo, but she has some weird tendencies and qualities. I don't think the rosacea is all due to the blush, so I don't want to diss her on it. But I mean, if you look in the mirror and your blush extends down to your collarbone, maybe you want to look into some contouring. I'm such an asshole. My cheeks also extend into my collarbone. So guess what I'm going to be Googling right after this? I'm going to put it on my vision board. Okay, Rebecca and Ziad. Oh, God. Well, Ziad is taking Rebecca to the Sahara Desert. He needs to know just how hot it needs to bake Rebecca to death so he can inherit her leather jacket and Joan's New York sweaters. Just kidding. He's going to propose with the very expensive $200 ring Rebecca bought for herself. I could see that $200 going towards much more important needs, mainly a salon treatment to degrease Syed. Would it kill the guy to use a clarifying shampoo? Just strip his hair of all the oils? Although I don't even know if that would do it. He probably needs to go old school style, Kirks of Castile soap, just strip every damn bit of DNA out of his hair at this point. I mean, Kirks of Castile, that'll take rust off of, I don't know, some chemical reaction, but it'll leave you damn dry. Really, if you looked at his hair in the Sahara Desert, it looked less greasy, which means he really needs nature's dry shampoo. It takes all of the sand of the Sahara Desert to just tame down the greasiness on this man. Rebecca, what are you seeing? And when he grabbed her by the neck, are you kidding me? I would have kicked that dude in the fuda. Isn't that a thing? Fat upper dick area. I would have kicked him in that. Then I would have kicked him behind the knee, probably grabbed him by that greasy ponytail if I could pull my sleeve over my hand because I'm not touching that with my bare hands, and shoved his face so hard into, I don't know, that mildewy tent. What I'm trying to say is he would not have gotten out of that situation with anything less than a black eye and a bloody nose. And I'm not condoning violence. I'm just saying if he is going to grip Rebecca with that kung fu grip, get ready for the wrath that's going to be coming at you. I got your back, Rebecca, even though I question your judgment. Speaking of judgment or lack thereof, Caesar. Caesar is gross, you guys. Tides have turned, winds have shifted, candy G-strings have snapped. Caesar doesn't want love. He wants a woman to wear Dylan's candy bar for him. He wants to go to a bulk Costco aisle and just make it rain gumballs, drip drop it in God only knows where. I think the best bet for, Syed, well, probably him too. The best bet for Caesar at this point is just to go all in Lars and the Real Girl style and buy himself a damn sex doll. Just think fiscally, financially, it's the wisest decision Caesar can make. And hell, if he gets a great tip after some no-chip manicure, spring for a sister wife. It's a no-brainer. Now, Avery and Omar. Avery is just boo-hooing like a high schooler because she is, right? Didn't she just graduate? She's sad because Omar isn't bawling his eyes out that she's flying back home. All I can say about these two, because I'm getting pretty annoyed with them, and by them I mean only Avery because I don't know why, I really enjoy Omar, but she needs to grow up. If you want to live as a married couple and do grown-up things, then you need to act like one. This isn't a high school relationship. This is how he acts. And if you don't like it, then you should have thought about that or maybe gotten to know him before you married him. Moving right along to Timothy and Jennifer. What is there to say? Tim is just not that into Jennifer. It's like he knows he should be into her because she's hot. I mean, I think she's really freaking annoying. I'll never get over that TRX rope workout with her hair down and sweaty because only monsters work out with their hair down like that. But she is hot and she's sexy and she wants to be with him. We don't know why, but she does. But Tim still does not see an attraction in her. I would liken it to me or anyone else with two eyes and vision, how we can't see anything remotely even human-looking about Channing Tatum. Everyone says he's the sexiest man alive, and all I see is a cyclops with moist skin and an ego even bigger than his one beady little eye in the middle of his forehead. But you know what makes things all better? Shopping! Retail therapy, ladies! Oh, Tim, he had his eyes rolled back up in that crooked little head of his damn near climaxing when he was talking about going shopping. And I'm not saying, oh, he's gay and we should diss on him for that. I really don't think anyone cares who or what Tim is into sexually, but he shouldn't be puffing his chest and claiming to be this all-American macho dude who's into hot Latin chicks and then break into hives and tears when Jennifer even tries to hold his hand or get close to him. I just want to know, what is his end game? Is it to be a dad? Because he certainly has a type. He dates women with children. But in that case, like, can't you just be their best friend or a cool uncle? I just think proposing the idea of marriage to someone and then leaving them hanging and coming across very cold and guarded is really kind of cruel. I'm putting myself in that situation and, you know, maybe I have felt that a time or two in my life. It just sucks. He is sending mixed messages all around. Now, this phone call with his ex, Veronica, well, I think Veronica and Tim had similar difficulties in the bedroom, and she was just curious to know whether Jennifer figured it out yet. That's the only thing I can think of with that question. I don't think she was trying to be nosy or mean. I think she's just asking what any ex would want to know, and she's got a camera crew cheering her on, so why wouldn't she ask that question? She's got the comfort zone of thousands of miles away from each other on FaceTime, so why the hell not? Please go forth and ask the questions that we want you to ask. You might as well. All right, well, oh, looky here. What's coming up on my WebMD? It's Dr. Angela. You guys, I'm just going to cut right to the chase. I mean, Angela is such a damn freaking idiot. First of all, oh God, I have so many things, so many notes. Let's talk about this dud egg of hers, how it might not be alive. Angela, it's not anything. It's not dead. It's not alive. It's nothing. And TikTok, it's going to be flushed down the toilet in 28 days or less. So you better start scooting if you want that thing to get fertilized. Now let's talk about Skyla's $1 million egg. Well, first of all, she's right, although it pains me to say someone named Skyla is right about anything, because Skyla's not a name, you guys. Skylar, Twyla, just put the two together, much like Angela wants to put her egg and her husband's sperm together. Skyla's right. Biologically, if she were to give her egg to her mother, the child would be hers biologically. Angela's saying it would be her biological child because she totes it and it, like, shares. No, doesn't work like that. As a surrogate, as a woman, as a human being, I speak for all of us when I say I want to kick her upside her see you next Tuesday, okay? I would love to know how Angela would pay for this, first of all, because there's a lot involved with this. You don't even have to have gone through infertility or IVF or IUI to know this is a major expense. It's not just finding someone to reach inside there, rip out an egg, and shove it in you. Unless, of course, Angela tries to do some homegrown IVF. Do we just give her an idea? I wouldn't even trust her with a turkey baster to actually baste a turkey, let alone impregnate her own daughter. Ew, I mean, just, oh no, wait. She would be impregnating herself. I don't even want to think about it. This whole thing is so messed up. And the fact that she's actually upset with her daughter, that she's just not donating her DNA to her. Angela does not want to be getting up in the middle of the night with a baby. She doesn't want to be raising a baby. She's already raising Michael, basically. So what is she going to be doing with a child? Based on how Scotty turned out, I don't think she does that great of a job. Now I'm feeling, like, sick to my stomach, a little nauseous, the two of them. Oh, can you imagine parent-teacher conferences with those two? They would just light it up right in front of the teacher, just go to blows. Poor future non-existent child. If they have one, well, that's going to be a great spinoff. That's all I can say. Okay, anyhow, back to drinks with Michael's friends. If full-on Maury Povich Angela, 2019 version. She's throwing drinks and shit, embarrassing herself, basically a rainbow-colored Hulk. That's it. Now, Benjamin and Akini. I seem to recall a time when I liked Benjamin. I felt badly for him. I think I even suggested that he needed a conservator, and I may have volunteered myself. I have a tendency to do that. But I have changed my mind. Benjamin needs to lighten the hell up. So Akini got tipsy on, like, skinny margaritas or something. She's drunk, tipsy, whatever you want to call it. I think flying across an ocean to marry someone that you have never met in person and making them the stepmother of your child is a lot more risky and dangerous than having a few margaritas at dinner. Benjamin was coming off all condescending and fatherly, and what bigger of a turnoff is that? No one wants to fuck their dad, okay? And as far as this bride price thing, wasn't that just a given that once Benjamin pays this bride price that he was well aware that he had to pay, she is then his bride, hence the name bride price? I mean, legal or not, that's common sense, right? Like, why is he acting all surprised about this? He went there with the intention to marry. What did he think Akini and her family were expecting? Like a side hug, a promise ring, a maybe we'll date and she'll come and maybe we will or won't get married? He saw how serious they were about marriage. And again, whether this is like a cultural, legal thing or not, marriage was the intended outcome. So I just don't understand why he was so caught off guard and he's shocked that this is actually happening. You flew there. You are the one making this happen. And as far as putting his son first, he should have thought about that first before he flew over there. I just don't feel badly for him anymore, mainly because I don't like how he was coming across to Akini. Yeah, she was drunk and she was saying that, but she wasn't like stripping off her clothes and going crazy like Tamara Barney Judge on any of the Real Housewives vacation trips. Calm the fuck down. Go sing a psalm and chill out. Say a prayer. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, there you have it. There's the homily for the week. Thank you for supporting me, sticking around. And I mean that not just podcast-wise, but everything that's gone on in my personal life with my son and my dad. I really, truly appreciate it. And I'm going to try to get back to each and every one of you that sent me sweet messages of love and support. Just know I've read every single one of them, and I truly, truly appreciate it. I was blown away. I love you guys. And if you love me too, make sure you check out patreon.com/realityvpod. Also, Total Request Podcast. Amanda and I are back to recording this week. God bless her. She hung in there and really went to bat for me. So thank you, Amanda. We are going to be recapping actually a non-reality show. It's a show called Cold Case, and the acting on this is nothing short of acting school dropouts. It's incredible. So check that out. That's Total Request Podcast at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. Carrie and I, Carrie from Sip and Shine, we are recording a new Moms on the Rocks episode this week, so be sure to check that out. And as always, take care of yourself, have an awesome week, and stay salty.